real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Now I just say, do you feel loved? Can I do anything for you? You know,
and that's then it. It's what, like, other questions matter?
Yeah. Do you feel loved? Because that's the important one. And number two, is there anything I can do for you?
This is Momcast, powered by the Local Moms Network. I'm Dimitra Ganias, coming to you from Stanford Studios. Moms, sometimes we see a celebrity in the media and we think we know something about them, but really there's just so much more to uncover. Well, today we sit down with the iconic Kelly Rutherford, actress and mom of two, and she has recently launched a new fragrance. Well, as you'll hear in this intimate conversation, she doesn't just give us a peek into her motherhood, she really lets us enter her heart and her mind. There's so much wisdom to glean here, and I know that a lot of what she says is going to stay with you. Here's Kelly. Kelly, I am fangirling. I mean, I don't know if it's frustrating or endearing to say that I'm obsessed with Lily Vanderwoodson. How do you feel about that being such an iconic role in your career?
Oh, I'm just so thankful. It was such an incredible experience for me. So the fact that people loved it and it's sort of continued on is such a blessing.
Well, I'm curious, have your kids seen Gossip Girl? Do they watch? Do they watch with you? How did that all happen? Because as a parent, I'm rewatching and I'm a little scandalized.
I know, when you're watching it through your kids' eyes, you're like, oh, well, maybe, you know. I don't know. They don't really tell me if they've watched it. I know their friends, a lot of their friends have watched it, because they were kind of much younger when it was, you know, really when it first obviously started. So I think they've watched some of it. They obviously see the stuff on TikTok and all of that. So they're very aware, but I don't know if they've both watched it sort of all the way through.
Talk to me about your incredible career. I mean, you've had fantastic roles, and I'm wondering if you chose each of them so deliberately, or if opportunities just came your way and you said yes.
Well, a lot of things, I think, like most of us in our careers, you know, there's things you thought you wanted and let's say they didn't happen, but then something better comes around, you know, or you think, oh my gosh, I was saved, you know. So that's happened quite often. And, you know, Gossip Girl was one of them, where there was a series kind of right before the show that I wanted because it was women my age. It was super cool. And I just kept, you know, meeting with them and they just were like not having it. You know, I was like, okay, this is not my show. And then thankfully it was like maybe a week later Gossip Girl happened, and I was, and it was just, you know, like walking through the door, it felt so natural. It happened so quickly. I had already had a relationship with them because of the OC, and I had met with them on that at that time. So it was, you know, it just, that's life, right? That's how our careers are. So we choose some, and then some things the universe chooses for us. So, and we're thankful for that.
Do you think you've passed along this notion of, you know, rejection as redirection with your kids? Do you talk about things like that? Or do you think they're just sort of absorbing from what they've seen in your career?
We do talk about it. I mean, even just in every day, I always say we're being saved from something. If we're delayed or, you know, something happens, I go, well, we must be being saved from something. Even if we're running late, you know, you never know. So they're aware, certainly, that that's my view on things. Yeah.
So tell us about your kids now. You have what, you know, moms of littles would say are older kids.
Yeah.
How old are they? And tell us about the phase that you're in.
Well, it's a beautiful phase because they're young adults, right? And I don't know what to call them, because I still say, oh, my kids. And then people, you know, what do you call them now? I guess you say my young adults or my adults. I don't know.
They're always going to be your kids.
I don't know. I say kids, but then people are like, well, how old are they? You know, they always assume they're little. I know they're always my kids. Yeah, Helena's going to be, she'll be 17. Hermes is almost 20 now. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
getting big.
Okay, so for all us moms, my oldest kids are in middle school, and there's sort of this mourning about them becoming young adults, but at the same time, it's just so fun as you go, even though I think they need me a lot more. What is your sort of evolution into this later stage, and is it actually harder to have big kids?
It's so different. I mean, you know, when they're little, it's just, it's constant, you know, you're just in it. And as they get older, it's really about stepping back and saying, I'm here and I'm present and I love you. And do you feel loved? And is there anything I can do? Because, you know, and that's what you do. And you do it as they need it, not necessarily as much as like we do. You know what I mean? And it's tough, yeah, especially if you've been there day to day. And all of a sudden they have their friends. It happens naturally though, right? They start having play dates and then they see their friends and then they have sleepovers and then it's, you know, they go to camp or they do whatever. So that the independence happens pretty naturally. These ages are fun because they're adults. They're forming how they see the world. And it's so fascinating how they see the world, you know, and I love hearing about it, you know.
Would you say that you're sort of a hands-off mom and they kind of run their lives, or do you find yourself interjecting or at least holding yourself back from interjecting because you know it's not what they want?
They would not say I was hands off at all.
I do my best to be sort of that. And you know, my daughter's super independent. Like she's in school in London. She loves it. She's, you know, running around. She's very, very independent. My son is independent, but he's with me more. He's doing what I do now. He's acting, he's modeling, you know, he's doing all that fashion stuff and cinema. So it's just each everyone needs something different, right? And at different times. Like my daughter, when she calls me, I'm there, you know, but there are times and I check in, but she also likes her independence, you know?
So. Any experience or cautionary tales from, you know, acting that you share with your son, or is it just such a different world right now?
It's a very different business than when I started, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is about the same age I was when I started, and it's so different. We used to go in the room and meet people, and it was interactive, you know, engaging with people. And now everything's on tape or, you know, on your phone, and it's just a very different time, like everything, right? We're doing this here, you know, it's a convenience, but it's also different than doing things in person. So, but it's exciting because you also have Instagram, you have other avenues in which to create and produce and do things. So
I'm glad you mentioned Instagram because you have the most beautiful feed. And I know it's a mixture of you and fashion and thoughts and some philosophy. What is it that you want to tell the world, tell other moms from what you're putting out there?
A lot of it's just about keeping love in our hearts, you know,
through things, through everything, whether it's raising children or relationships or work, whatever, the way that the state of the world. And yeah, I love beauty. I love fashion. I love feeling good and looking good and all these things that we all do, you know what I mean? So I think it's a way to sort of make it more broad, you know, with the quotes. And sometimes all we have time for is a quote a day, you know, we're quite busy. So it's just a way to share sort of a positive thought or
yeah, it certainly is. It is just that positive, uplifting moment. So it's a joy to follow. I imagine positivity is something really important in your life. You had a very public custody battle. What was the one constant thought that you kept coming back to that brought you through that period of your life?
Oh, there were so many.
So many.
We're here for you. Tell us.
It's like, oh my gosh, I know. It's like another podcast. It was a lot of it was the same. It really was about keeping love in my heart and focused on loving my kids through it and knowing that they felt loved through everything. Because that is the most important thing. You know, I knew what was going on and probably why, but they may not have known, you know. So for me, it was about, okay, how do I, you know, do the best I can? And sometimes I did and sometimes I didn't, you know, you just do the best you can under, you know, tough circumstances. But the kids, thank God, turned out
really well. I'm like, wow, you know, somehow, some way through all of it. I always say they got the best of both of us, you know, which is so important and so true. And they laugh. They're like, how did you two ever even get together? Like, what? You know, now we laugh about it. And I said, because there's good qualities, you know, your dad has good qualities. And, you know, there's, you know, I think it's so nice to be able to talk about it to them with them now. But the important thing when they were young was that just they felt loved, you know, and I knew I had to take care of myself enough to get through it and to be strong on the other side of it, you know, to be able to be the parent I truly wanted to be through it, that I couldn't, but to be the parent I could when, you know, it was finally resolved and all of that.
Sometimes, obviously, we encounter things that we didn't anticipate in our motherhood, and it takes an evolution totally of our thoughts. Mm. How do you lean on those around you? Who were your support, your friends? Who were the constants that sort of stayed with you? Who did you lean on in this time?
Mm. I mean, there were so many people, you know, that were and that, you know, were friends and family and even, you know, people sort of in the public area that were super supportive of what was going on from the legal side of things. I felt a lot of support, you know, through it. I think most moms, most people, you know, I think you innately know what's going on. You feel it, you know, it's not like an intellectual thing. So I felt very, very loved and supported through it. And I'm very thankful for that. So,
Talk to me about this latest chapter, because Rose Premier, your new fragrance. I'm so curious if this was something that was, you know, something you dreamt of over your lifetime, or did it fall into your lap? This seems like such a fun adventure.
Yeah, a friend of mine. Speaking of kids, we did the Lycée Français School Gala together. There were like four or five women that did it when my son was little there in New York. And we all just have stayed friends and you know, catch up with each other when we can. And Véronique, who I was always so impressed by, she was the head of perfume at Estée Lauder. And then she left and started her own perfume, which I followed and have really loved because it's quite natural. And I prefer more natural perfumes or things that aren't too strong. And I was either in New York or she was here and we saw each other and had lunch. And she said, have you ever thought about doing your own perfume? And I said, yes, I would love to do my own perfume. And I said, I'd love to do something with rose because I love, you know, the smell of roses. So we went to Grasse and we picked the roses. They're called the roses of May because that's when they bloom, and they bloom very early in the morning. And we picked the roses and then we did the whole process of making the perfume and all the different things that you smell and decide what goes in it. And this is what we ended up with. There were like seven samples that she had made. And this was the one that I kind of wore each one every day. But this was the one that I really loved the most.
It sounds so hands-on. What a beautiful education.
Yeah, it was an amazing education to go through the process. It's different just to put your name on something. It's another thing to actually have it be so personal, you know?
Yes. So how did you narrow down the last and final scent that you settled on?
Well, my kids helped me. Like Helena helped with, there's like a little pink top to the bottle, and she helped me pick the color pink. And then I had the kids. I was deciding between two, really. And so I said to them, which one do you like? And my son said, oh, I would wear this one. This one's really good. And that's the Rose Premier. And I said, okay, well,
the ultimate compliment.
I know you'll both wear it. Then that's a good thing. So
when your teens are giving you the green light, I think that means you did the right thing.
Exactly.
This isn't just something you can spray on. There's an element of wearing it as jewelry. How did that come about?
Well, Véronique made this when she first started her brand. She did these beautiful wearable pieces, the necklaces. I have it here. I can mention it.
But, oh, wow.
She has a few styles. This one's called Le Spritz. And this one, we put a little rose quartz on the bottom just for the good energy of it for the Rose Premier. But and then you have like three sample sizes that come with it. They last quite a long
So they're tucked
time,
inside the necklace.
Yeah, and you can wear the chain. They're just really beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Really
nice. Yeah, they're really cool.
I'm sending this one to my mom. She's like, you haven't sent me any.
Okay, mom, there you
go. This one's going to my mom right now. Yeah, exactly.
What and, a special gift.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, when I told friends that I was going to be speaking with you, the one thing that they asked about was your constant, beautiful, elegant style. And you are effortless in every way, even in this conversation. But you have this beautiful upswept hair, and that has stayed with you over the years.
I think of my grandmother a lot because she had great style. She was very classic and elegant and effortless, but she was still kind of earthy about everything. My mom's a Virgo. She's quite put together in a different way. You know, she's a bit more put together and, you know, and I don't know. I grew up with it. My mom was a model when I was growing up, and my grandmother was always just dressed so beautifully. And my grandfather, too, they had a real sense of that it was respectful to dress nice. You know, it wasn't about fashion per se, but it was just more being respectable, showing up in that way. And I that's part of it, I think, is that. And then I loved magazines growing up. I loved, you know, as an actress, I would look at the magazines and want to like live in the worlds of these homes. And I used to buy House and Garden, and I would make collages on my walls and just sort of create these worlds for myself. So maybe it's partly that and partly my own family and you know.
Well, I admire that so much, mostly because I look at my middle schoolers now and the aesthetic is basically elevated pajamas. So this idea of actually putting yourself together and having respect for yourself, I think we need more of that.
Yeah, it feels good in a funny way, you know? I think it's a nice way to show up. I mean, not always, you don't always have to be that way, but you know, it definitely feels good to do it.
Tell me about this notion of self-care and what you do for yourself physically and mentally. How are you taking care of your heart and your soul and your body?
I hate being organized. I know that sounds maybe it's not necessarily a beauty tip or something, but I really love being efficient and organized. And I'm constantly, it's never done. It never gets done, but at least it's like ongoing. Do you know what I mean? I feel a sense of, okay, today I got a bit more organized and efficient about things in my life and also living the life you want to live. I mean, really, you getting up every day saying this is, I'm choosing this, you know, this is what I'm choosing in my life. And if I were to change it, what would I choose differently? And sort of adapt your worldview or your thought process or your, you know, meditations or whatever around what that would look like so that you feel good. You know, I mean, there's the obvious self-care things like getting a massage and taking care of yourself and getting enough rest and eating well, which we're all trying to do, I'm sure, and the best we can.
Absolutely.
Doesn't always happen in that order, but it's, you know what I mean, or in some, but that helps too, obviously. It's like that.
You mentioned the word choosing, and that makes me think of something that I've worked on so hard in my motherhood, and that is boundaries. Saying no to the things I don't truly want to do and saying hell yes to what actually fills me up. How are you with setting those boundaries, whether it's with friends or requests for your time?
I'm getting better at it. I'm really getting better at turning on the boundary thing. But sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm just, I don't know, I need to work on it more, but I'm pretty good at it, you know? Yeah. I mean, more about listening to that first impulse about something or that first intuitive feeling instead of then talking myself into it. So I have a tendency to go, okay, this doesn't feel right, but then I can talk myself into, okay, but maybe it's this, this, and this. So that's what I'm working on, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I think there's such a mental game to being a mom and saying, wait a minute, I should be okay with saying no to this, but it's that little tug of guilt. Do you have any of that sort of conversation in your head about guilt, or do you just know this is what I can do, this is what I want, or no?
I talk to my kids through it. You know, I talk to them. I say, I'm feeling really guilty about this. Should I feel guilty about this? And my daughter will say, absolutely not. The moms at school are all doing blah, 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 blah. You said the right thing, you know? So I really engage with them on my boundaries. And I want them to say, hey, because I want them to have the or feel confident enough to create a boundary with
me. Absolutely.
So it's good. It's healthy to say, I'm feeling guilty because I did this or that, or even, you know, about the divorce, I talk about that with them, you know, I wish this or that. And how can I feel better about that? And how do you feel about that? And even day to day, you know, and it's interesting because I remember my daughter was maybe through, I don't know if this is exactly a boundary, but it was super helpful to me, which was, she was saying to me, maybe like 4 or 5, you know, Papa says you give us too many sweets. And I said, well, do you think I give you too many sweets? And she's, you know, thought about it. She said, no, I don't think you give us too many sweets. And I said, okay. And I said, you know, ultimately your body has to decide if you're eating too many sweets. So if you eat a cupcake and you eat 2 cupcakes and you get a stomach ache, it's really up to you to listen and say, I ate too many sweets, right? Because I don't know how many sweets are too much for you. I mean, I can guess, you know, so these conversations, I think, are important to have, like these, because boundaries are good, but they're also, they can also be
restricting.
Limiting, and where there could be a conversation instead of a boundary. And so that everyone's like, and so she then thinks, okay, it's not just all what my mom says or my dad says. It's also, I have to take care of myself, you know? So,
but I think that's such a mature conversation to have with a young girl. And also, I'm just thinking of, look at the agency you gave your daughter by telling her to listen to herself. Because yes, as moms, I mean, I went overboard telling my older two what to do and how to do it. And thankfully, number three has, you know, the blessing of a mom with more perspective who says, okay, well, you tell me, what do you think is the right thing? So I think I've changed so much as a mom. But now in their, you know, teen years, I can ask my kids, okay, well, tell me what you think. And I think that really empowers them because I'm not always going to be around to tell you what's right and wrong. So you need to figure it out.
And affirmations, you know, really help. So like, even if you're worried about something, you can just say, hey, you know, instead of saying, oh my God, I'm so worried, or are you going to do this or that? You can just, you know, speak to them in positive affirmations, which is to say, you know, you're incredibly responsible and I really admire that about you. Or I know you make really good decisions and I, you know, I really appreciate that as a mom, knowing that you make good decisions and that, you know, so there's a way to turn our fears or turn our things that are bothering us, let's say, or that we're up at night about, you know, into something that becomes now their affirmation about
their
themselves.
Inner voice.
Inner voice. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like such an amazing way to take my anxiety out of the equation and just sort of calm them down. Because as moms, we sort of, they feed off of what we give them. So if we amp them up and make them more anxious, they're going to take that and spiral. But that sounds like such beautiful advice to just say, trust yourself to know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
My son was so funny. I kept saying, are you okay? Are you okay? You okay? You know, just about stuff. He goes, Mom, why do you're making me feel like something's not okay. Like, yeah, I'm okay. And I said, you're right. I didn't even realize that. Now I just say, do you feel loved? Can I do anything for you? You know,
and that's then it. It's what, like, other questions matter?
Yeah. Do you feel loved? Because that's the important one. And number two, is there anything I can do for you? You know, and it's kind of how I was feeling when I was asking. That's what I was trying to say when I was asking, are you okay? So, yeah.
It sounds like your kids are your teachers as much as you're teaching them. And I think that's a dynamic that every parent finds at some point, whether they're little or they're older. God, they're giving us so much, you know, no matter how much we're giving to them. Is it humbling for you to hear this sometimes? Or do you sometimes look at them and say, oh my God, you're my kid. Good for you. I did a good job.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that, or I believe that women are portals and that the children, you know, bring in the new information. You know, we're sort of the channel in which they come to Earth from wherever, I don't know where, or all of that. So I do believe they're here to the bringers of the information of the new everything. You know, they're here for the next generation. It's like how we always feel like our parents were so, you know, the old operating system, and now we're kind of becoming that. And they're here to sort of bring in the future and bring in the new things. If you want to know what your child is here to do, just ask them. They'll tell you, you know, it's a lot us listening and saying, okay, and deciding whether we choose to listen to that, or we choose to just have them follow our program. You know, there's different, and there's a balance of the two, right? There's a balance of, okay, you've got to exist in society, so I need you to do this, this, and this. But there's also that side of, what are you here to do, and how can I support that? And you can ask them that from the time they can speak, and they'll tell you, you know? And it's just a matter of encouraging that way of viewing things, let's say, or staying open to that. It's a different way, but I find it really, it's cool to hear what they say.
It is. Thank you for being so vulnerable and letting us into your heart, because this is such a unique perspective, but we're all listening and taking something from it. So it's so invaluable to us. We've talked a lot about the inside. Let's talk about the outside, because we're jealous of your skin, of your hair, of your style. Tell us what you do, your non-negotiable luxuries that you have to have. What's on your nightstand? What do you carry in your purse? We need to know it all.
Not a lot. I don't do a lot. You know, I did... I try different things. So right now I'm using Living Libations, which is very natural. And it's actually a rose essence. They have two different serums and a cream that I'm using that I really love.
I use their sea buckthorn oil.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you know, I'm so happy you know about it. Most people are like, what is that? Okay,
I know.
Great.
It's very earthy, crunchy, I feel. But that's so interesting you said that, because I don't know anyone who uses that company. And the sea buckthorn oil is what I use to do my double cleanse, taking off makeup and things like that.
Yeah.
It's so good, yeah. Right? Cool company.
Yeah.
What
there's,
else?
Yeah, there's that. I don't know, good lip balm. You know, I don't. Mm. Now I just wear a base. I don't wear too much makeup unless I'm working, other than just a little foundation and a little lip balm. That's it. The hair goes up every day. Usually it's like, I
do you
wash
like
it
to walk? Do you like to sweat for your workouts? Do you meditate?
I love to meditate. I love to write. Love to write.
Okay.
Bring in the future with my writing. And I love to walk my dogs. I love to go for coffee with them. I like to walk a lot. I don't have a real traditional workout. I stretch and I do meditate, but it's a different now. It's more of an overall feeling. I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes I do need to sit and meditate. But I do it a lot through writing. I find it super helpful.
There is something so old school yet so fascinating about putting pen to paper. What do you think happens when you sit there to do that? You know, how does it help calm you or move through feelings?
It's an alchemy. It's a natural thing. You know, it's alchemizing your thoughts and ideas onto paper. You know, it's creative. I think you can do it through the computer too. I think it's just equally as good, you know, for now. We're so used to it now. So either way you do it, I think it's super
Do you
helpful.
Find you know yourself better because you're actually going through your thoughts instead of sort of rushing through them?
Yeah, there's that great book, The Artist's Way, you know, with the morning pages and all that, where you write 10 pages of just, you know, just get it on the page. You know, I think that's really helpful. I believe affirmations are helpful. Writing what you want is super, and writing it in the present form is super helpful. All those things, it gives you energy and clarity.
I think it speaks to the power of manifestation. I think that's what we call it, right? Writing things in the present as if they're happening. Have you seen that play out in your life?
Oh, all the time, all the time. It's natural for us. We're manifesting all day long. We just don't call it that. You know, we get up, we think about coffee, we go get our coffee, we just manifested a coffee. We're just, you know, all day long, we're manifesting thoughts becoming and, you know, taking the action, and then it becomes the reality. So some things take longer just because they're a heavier lift than getting a cup of coffee sometimes, but it's also something that we see more as a practice instead of a way of life. And it's really our way of life. It's our natural way of life is manifesting. And we're just taught the limits. That's all. If you take the limits away, things happen much quicker. And that's what takes the practice, is getting rid of the limit, you know, the limiting thoughts and all that. Yeah.
I am so energized by this conversation, Kelly. Thank you so much. I think what I'm hearing from you is just taking time to slow down and be, and to think and to process. And God, as busy moms, that totally gets shoved aside. So I'm so happy that you've rekindled this fire in us, because it's in there. There's a glimmer of that. We know we should do it, but hearing you say it, hearing that you do it, I think is so inspiring for us. I'm going to ask you to leave us with just one affirmation that is powerful for you and that we can repeat to ourselves.
Oh, I like, all is well in my world is a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. All is well in my world. Because, you know, right, when you have your little kids, you don't have time necessarily to meditate or to write. And that's the joy of it, is you're in the moment. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, is being in the moment and being with our children? You know, meditation and all that writing is really when you want to go back to the drawing board, or you need to process certain things that you don't have time to process. But there's such a joy in the flow of being a mom and being busy and running around and all of it, you know?
Oh, thank you for validating those two parts. As always, there's no guilt in what we do. It's just knowing there's another way and embracing it when we have the time and the energy. So all is well in our world. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Moms, we're so grateful you're part of our community. Don't forget to rate and review Momcast to help us spread the word, and follow us on Instagram at The Local Moms Network. I'm Demetra Ganyas. We'll find you back here next week from Stanford Studios.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.